Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, Simon Peter and Andrew's fishing business must have been doing okay. We know from the story immediately before this one that Peter has a house that is big enough for Jesus' entourage and a crush of people to gather at. Peter may not be rich, but he is not a destitute fisherman. Regardless, that night, when they had been out, they hadn't caught any fish. And it's probably not the only night that they'd been skunked. And when we re-meet Simon Peter, after the house story and now the next morning where he has been fishing all night, he and those with him are about to pack it in. They'll come back another night, fish the same old way, and hope to have a better haul. No big deal. Sometimes you catch fish, and sometimes you don't. After already not having a good fishing outing, though, Jesus takes over their boat. And it is certainly my imagining, but I don't think it seems too outrageous, that Peter isn't thrilled to have Jesus get in his boat after a fruitless expedition. Any possible last catches that they might have had are certainly not going to happen. And after Jesus gets in the boat, he doesn't really want to go anywhere, which is the point of getting in the boat in the first place. He wants to sit and teach. And he does. Jesus teaches, and who knows how long. Just think for a moment that you have been working all night or all day, and you are about ready to pack it in, and a friend stops by your house with a bunch of their friends. Postponing any winding down that you are planning to do. You already had the remote in your hand. You might be glad to have that friend around, and Peter may be glad to have Jesus around, but you might not be as glad to still have to stay awake. And if that convenience were not enough, there is one final ask of Jesus. Why don't you fish some more? At this point, the text does give us a glimpse into Peter's exhaustion and maybe his exasperation. Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing." But though fatigued and wearied, he relents. "Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Does Simon Peter expect to catch something? Is he just showing Jesus that he's willing to try anything? Or does he just want to go home and get to bed after a delayed end of the fishing trip, and knows that the only way that is going to happen is to show Jesus that there are no fish to be caught? Well, it actually gets better for Peter, because after he complies with Jesus' request, now he is never going to get to bed, because now he has so much fish to clean. There is an obstacle between Simon Peter and his bed, and its name is Jesus. That's the lectionary's theme for today. Well, it's one of them anyway. God is between you and me and where you think you are headed. The call story of Isaiah perfectly illustrates the interruptive nature of God's call to Isaiah to speak on God's behalf. Paul, as he closes his first letter to the Corinthians, reminds them that he is as one untimely born, a reference to the active and interruptive call that he had on the road to Damascus. The call of God is that item that stands between you and your plan. And we worked hard here at St. Luke's last year, and it is though we have been in the boats all night long. And if I were to share the metrics of 2018, they would sound an awful lot like the metrics from 2017, and not a lot of statistical growth around here. And it could feel from that presentation as though the nets are fairly empty after a whole night of fishing. But I want to remember, and I know that it is not true, that measurables are only one indication of the health of a place. And there are all kinds of signs of new life in different pockets of this parish. And I am grateful for those and think they show us good places that we could put our energy in the near future. And then also, us like Simon, we're doing okay. We have a house. We aren't destitute fisher folk. However, it can feel like the nets are as full as we would like them to be. And it would be easy for us, after this hard work, to say to ourselves, sometimes you catch fish, and sometimes you don't. And then mosey off to bed for a while and try again later. But that can't be our attitude forever if we want to stay in the fishing business. Can you imagine if that were the marketing slogan of any parish? Sometimes you catch fish, sometimes you don't. And even though it isn't the slogan that you would ever put on a mug or a bumper sticker, it is often reflects the way that people in parishes act. Sometimes we catch fish here, sometimes we don't. What the fishing slogan should be and could be is sometimes you don't catch fish, so you cast your nets in a new place. We know the results of what we are doing now. They are metrical, incremental decline, very small, and not a lot of movement, but it does mean that people think about their belts getting tighter. And people look around and they start to worry about the median age of the congregation. And so it is time to consider casting our nets in the same place that Jesus tells Simon Peter and his crew, deep water. Now, I am not a professional angler by any sense, and I'm sure somebody will correct me after this, but I do know something. If I take kids fishing, you do not take them to the deepest part of the lake, and it's not because they cannot swim. It's because they will not catch anything there. Then most of the productive fishing is done in the shallows. And Jesus' instruction seems to go against all conventional wisdom for a plentiful catch. Deep water is the unconventional, unexpected place for such a catch, especially in the middle of the day. So what is the deep water, that unconventional place for this boat that we are all in right now? I'll just admit, I'm not sure. One of the hardest parts of doing something different is knowing how to do something different. And I sometimes wonder if the unconventional strategies that we roll out in parishes and in the church writ large are really the conventional unconventional. In other words, we are still engaging in activities that are expected. So I'm not even going to suggest today what the deep water is. What is great for Simon Peter in this story is that Jesus tells him exactly where to fish. And I think he's telling us to fish in the same way. And I really wish I knew what that meant. But when you don't know the full answer to stumping, you start with a part of the answer that you already know. And even without knowing where deep water is, here's the good news. Jesus wants us to catch fish. That is beyond any shadow of doubt. which is where you start when you need to figure something out. What to do right now. Everyone sitting here can say in their heart, Jesus doesn't want us to get skunked. The other thing I know is that if you are going to fish, the equipment doesn't change that much. In fact, human beings have been pretty much fishing the same way as long as human beings have been catching fish. Nets, line, rods, reels, spears, and hooks. They might look different and be more expensive and have pictures of computers on them now, but it's all the same gear. So I'm confident in a second thing, too. Our fishing for people, we already have the equipment that we need to do it. Prayer, sacraments, Holy Scripture, praise, compassion. What we need to figure out is where the deep water is to deploy them. So that's the work for this year. That's the prayer for all of us at St. Luke's in 2018. Where is that deep water? And we must pray together if we are going to go there together. But we have to remember, if we do find that place, if we answer that question, it means we aren't going to bed anytime soon. That longed for pillow and comforter encounter would be delayed. And if we go looking for the deep water, it will be because Jesus got in between where we are now and where we wanted to go. Now, it is worth noting that when Jesus gets in the way, two other things happen. They all would have made great sermons this morning, but they cannot go unnoticed. First, the catch is too much for Simon Peter and his single crew. He has to bring others along to share in the haul. And the other thing, the undeniable, interruptive encounter with the divine will and does strip away our facade of confidence and reveals those places that are broken and need God's healing touch. And let's borrow the language from Isaiah and call that moment a burning coal moment. That means a big catch in deep water will make us vulnerable to God and to one another. And it will be in that moment that we must find the embers of healing and not the pokers of competition. So are you ready for bed? Sometimes I am. Well, it seems to be too bad. Because Jesus wants to hang out for a while and sit in our boat and just talk to people. And once he's done with that, he wants us to go and fish in the deep water. So set your spiritual depth finders for deep waters. Amen. Actually, one other thing. By the way, if you're discouraged by the empty nets, there is no way Jesus could have gotten to Peter's boat that morning if he had been successful on his own. Amen again.